Welcome to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White.
Wait, I forgot to start the music.
All right.
I'll just vamp.
With Hardy White.
God,
I'm Hardy White. Join me now, won't you, as we make memories together. But the recipe we're making them from has a big stain on it, so we add salt instead of sugar, and that's why we have to throw it away and start over again every week from scratch. And I am willing to scratch your back if you're willing to rub mine down with this vegetable oil that we were going to use for the recipe. Oh, my friends, it's so good that we could be together.
My bad. I totally forgot to start the music. That has never happened before.
Well, it has, actually.
Well, I guess I forgot. But I will never forget to remember that I forgot that before and not let that happen again. All right, can we just forget it?
Sure. Forget what?
What?
I know. So, yeah, let's just forget about it. And ironically or coincidentally or quadronically, as they say, I'm actually going to speak about forgetting today. So that's not a real word. What isn't? See how quickly I forget? Forgetting can be a blessing and a curse. It can be a blessing in that sometimes we can't recall painful things. And it can be a curse. I don't remember how. Isn't that good, though? Because that would be very painful to remember. Oh, the brain is a fragile thing. It is a lot like a fine piece of china, isn't it? Or a piece of art glass. Say, is that art glass? Say, yeah, then why is there a snowman in it? Not that one, the one next to it. Don't shake it up, though. It's just a big hunk of glass. It looks pretty. It looks like a flower, doesn't it? But it's made of glass. If you drop a flower, nothing happens. Unless it's been dipped into liquid nitrogen, like they sometimes do in science demonstrations. Don't do this at home with your own gardening. So, oh, I like to prepare vegetables that way. So how do you like your squash? Dipped in liquid nitrogen and then shattered. This is the cuisine they make now around here. And then they spray some kind of foam on it. It might be that stuff that fills up cracks. Turns out it's edible. It's not. Oh, bless y'all, do not start going and eating, spraying insulation. Hardy said it's food. It isn't. But you can insulate your home with Cheese Whiz. This is possible. And it does harden to the same consistency. Oh, my friends, I'm not here to give you tips on home improvement. I'm not here to give you tips on home demolition. I'm not here to give you tips on how to build an underground bunker that actually looks like a beautiful shopping mall and can be a source of income after a catastrophic disaster. You can say, oh, the world's been destroyed, but now I got retail property. And this is something I'm not here to tell you how to do, because I'll tell you, my philosophy does not extend to worlds. It does not extend to nations. I'm not that smart. I can't even tell you how to deal with your own family. All I can do is give you the philosophy of the room, not the movie. Hello, doggy. Not the movie. I'm talking about, that's my world. If I walk into a room, mainly in the role of a candy striper, and you say, well, that's not for men. Hey, now, who says? And then I like my candy striper pants I still have from the 70s. That's not how they were originally designed. I originally got them because I saw that Levi's ad. Woo, it was trippy. I said, I need to send them strapped jeans. And then volunteering in hospitals was just the next natural step. I walk into the room as a volunteer there, and you are in the hospital bed recovering from your surgery. And I say to you, oh, friend, do you need anything like ice chips? And that's what this show is bringing you. It's bringing you ice chips. That's all I have to offer. And I come to you and I say, your mouth is parched after this surgery on your foot. So I don't understand why mouth parched. But I'm bringing you ice chips. And you say to me, what? Are they not flavored? And I go, look, you're laying in a hospital. No, I don't react like that. I calmly say, would you like a magazine? I can get you some from the lobby. And I have a time machine so I can get Omni. And he said, oh, well, that's 2 weeks in a row you've mentioned that. That's because I want to start a defunct magazine stand. A lot of times you'll go to garage sales, say people selling all their old magazines as if they have no use. or would if I'm trying to perpetrate a hoax on somebody and make them think they came back to 1982, I have use for those because I need them for the doctor's waiting room I'm setting up to make them feel as if something happened in the doctor's office that made them hallucinate a future when there wasn't one. What are you talking about? It's 1982. If it weren't, why would you be listening to terrestrial radio? Think about it. You say I'm not. I'm listening to the podcast online, Mr. Smarty. Are you? Yes, I am. Okay. This is not for you then. I'm not trying to gaslight you, which means that I'm trying to take all your electrical appliances and rewire them and put pipes in them, as did the Stooges. Not that Stooges. The Three Stooges. When they used to be in the business of renovating homes. You say, how could that be? They're morons. Have you had your home renovated recently? No, people who do it are very, very smart, in fact. Because I know I had mine done, and I said, hey, can y'all help me out? I need a pocket door and a super collider. And they said, we got it covered. And they said, we're going to make the super collider, though, out of clothes dryer exhaust piping. That telescoping silver stuff. I go, man, you mean robot arms? And we all laughed. Yes, we've used, who hasn't done that for their costume? Say, I'm going to go as Robbie the Robot. Danger, danger, danger. From the effeminate patrician. Oh, I'm glad we could be to get, say, hey, I just came off of surgery. I don't need you singing, but I do need those ice chips. What happened to them? I'm sorry. I forgot. I got to yakking. I love to speak. Oh, I'm chatty. And I don't know who you are. It is easy. I love you. Say, oh, shouldn't you get to know me better? No, it'd be much harder to say I love you if I know you better. I find that to be the case. It's really easier to love people if you don't really know what's going on in their head. And then as you get to know them, it becomes more difficult. So if you remain loving them, That's very special. I had a family reunion I'm going to tell you about. I had it last weekend. I want to tell you about that because that it has a lot to do with, A, forgetting. Also, loving those who are not like you. Say, who is more like you than your family? Perfect Strangers comes to mind. Not the television show. Even them. Even Balky is more like me than my family, I find. And why is that? Say, well, I wear colorful vests and I have an accent, and they don't. And so I don't know, say, we're all from the same place. Why do I sound differently? And they say, you got problems because of the brain thing. And I say, what brain thing? And they say, there you go. That's what I was talking about. You've proved my case for me. What case? You're still proving it. What case am I proving? Oh, my friend, you stand as a witness to your own life, even if you don't know what happened. I woke up the other day. I do not know the crime for which I'm being held on trial here. You mean ignorance of the law is no excuse for ignorance of the law. Oh, so you got to know the law wherever you go. Whenever I travel, I stop in to either a lawyer's office or the courthouse, and I say, yes, hello, I'm from out of town. I'm traveling here from Lexington, Kentucky, Tallahassee, Florida, whatever. I need to see your local law books, please, as if I may. I try to be polite and use my polite words like piftle and mumuftum. I know that they're not the ones that you have, but I think they sound good. I think a lot of onomatopoeia comes across better than the real words. You say, please is not intrinsically pleasing. And they gave me the book, and I say, oh, I see here that I am not permitted to, I don't know, have my, some of these seem outdated. It says I can't have my servants come past 6 p.m. or something. I say, well, you know, those are still laws that are on the books. The whole chapter about not having sexual relations with various animals and everything. Well, I say, you see, you have to keep that one on the book because you never know. Oh, laws are like evolution. We have to solve problems that haven't even come up yet sometimes. Say, no putting crayons in people's ears because they didn't pay their bill. You don't know. because you cannot predict what the human mind will do. Oh, it's breaking down all the time. My mind is not the same mind it was in 1980. Just as my computer is not the same computer it was in 1980. I had information on my early Macintosh computer. But you know, even though that machine seemed sturdy and it seemed like it'd be around forever, it eventually started to run more slowly. It began to forget things. I'd say, computer, show me, where's my folder marked private, naked? So it's disappeared off my desktop. Oh, no. But see, all that stuff is disappeared. And thank goodness it has disappeared with my 80s mind. Who knows? But I've got a whole new hard drive now. And these are just like different people. Oh, the memories of our ancestors. Are they in our heads? You say, yes, because I got Aunt Pearl's Mandelbread recipe. That's like it. That is a memory. But you have no memory of her memory of childbirth, do you? I say, how do I get a memory of childbirth? I'm a man in his 50s. Oh, I don't know. I guess I stick something down there painful. I have no idea. And then shock yourself with a puppy or something. Said, oh, you got pain in your groin. Now you got a tremendous responsibility. Feel that? Feel that pressure on both places? Physical pressure, emotional pressure. Feel that? Oh, that's being alive. Being alive can cause pain. It causes all sorts of sensations, doesn't it? I'm just here to tell you what I'm experiencing, not what to do. I have no idea if you come to me for advice. Again, this candy striper analogy, a lot of you don't even know what that is because hospitals today don't have staffs or any more volunteers or anything. They're just empty places where you go when you're sick, and then someone comes in every once in a while and says, I wish I could help you. That's all right. I know. Things are rough all over. And then you either decease or you suddenly go, you know, I'm feeling bad. I can go die in my own bed. And you leave. And you eventually do. 50 years later, just like that, boom, you're gone. But that when my day, my grandmother, who is a role model for me, which is why I wear this strange flowery apron everywhere. So that's how I honor my grandmother. I might not follow her religious tradition. I might not do my hair in the same sort of bouffant. But who knows, if I had hair, I may. But I certainly can wear this cloth flowery apron. It doesn't tie in the back. I think it snaps. I haven't taken it off in years, so I haven't looked. But I wear that to honor her because I remember. I remember how my grandmother would wipe her hand on the counter and her rings, her wedding rings and her other engagement rings, and they would make a click. She'd wipe crumbs off the counter and clack, clack, clack. I could hear the clack of her rings. And she's always getting her hands in the food as she made it. Nowadays, we make hands we put tools in our mouth. And we go, but then we used to use our hands to make food. She'd hold the knife in her hand, not today, and chop. The never zucchini. We didn't have anything that exotic. She chopped the whatever she had to chop. Onion. Lots of onions. Or if she was making something like a dough, she'd go ahead and put her hands right into it. And sometimes she'd forget and leave them there and bake her hands into the bread. And say, we're not having that handy bread, are we again, Grammy? And she'd go, I gotta look. Dang it, my hands are gone. She was a robot, essentially. And so, but her hands were made of mascarpone. And so it's beautiful. If you're going to make a robot, make it edible. Just in case, you never know. Should it attack you, it makes it easier to bite into it. Biting into metal gives you that. Have you ever done that? Go get a piece of tinfoil. Bite into it. And that's exactly what it's like to bite a robot's ear off during a fight. Oh, shivers. It gives you shivers. You lose your concentration, basically. I was taking martial arts classes that had a combat AI, basically, is what it is. It was martial arts against artificial intelligence. It was very complicated. I found it very complicated. And a lot of the positions I couldn't even get into. There's a lot of that stuff where you have to stick your heel behind your head and everything. What I did is I went with a partner and I just stuck my heel behind his head. And it was a lot easier. And we do things like that. See, we'll always work together should we be attacked. I will stand here and you will physically restrain the person. That's how we work as a team. I'd like to be a team with you sometime. Get the ice chips. Oh, I forgot. Oh, the things I can't remember. I like to tell you about the future things I haven't done as a way of telling you about the things that I've forgotten. Say that again. I've forgotten so much, and I want to tell you things I've forgotten, but I don't know what I've forgotten, so I'll tell you about things I haven't done because they have the same quality as forgotten memories. You know what? Tomorrow that's going to be a greeting card. I know it. This show goes out to a lot of greeting card companies. People stand around going, I'm not making any money anymore because of home printing. So the greeting card factories are just a lot of union workers sitting on stools, smoking cigarettes, listening to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White. So I'm not bragging or nothing. I'm just saying it's true. I hear from them. Dear Hardy White, I work up to the greeting card factory. We have very little work to do. So we sit around. A lot of us do things that are unhealthy, like smoke cigarettes or other unhealthy thing, or not eat. A lot of us don't eat. We forget to eat like that, or we eat poison. And so it's very unhealthy for us, and we have a lot of time on our hands, so a lot of us get into crime and everything. But we've started listening to your show, and now we just take your ideas and we plug them in to the greeting cards, all the wacky ones. Greeting cards used to be very serious when I was young. And then there is infected, as some people are infected with Lyme disease, the greeting card industry got bit by something and got a bad case of whimsy. And then got a bad case of weirdness, like sick, what they used to call sicko humor, became mainstream funny greeting cards. So that is nuts. I don't even know. Look at that old person. They're so old that their form is hideous. And it's on a greeting card. Look, they must not have their teeth in or something. If you gave that greeting card to my aunt in the 40s, she would scream and die. But we have changed so much as a culture, and what have we forgotten? We have forgotten something we didn't know existed. When I went to the family reunion, I saw relatives I didn't remember, and they saw me, and they didn't remember me. Oh, we are all family. Say, I don't get along with my family, Hardy White. I'm nothing like my family. Yes, you are. Because we're all family on earth. We're just distantly related. You just happen to get along better with your distant relatives than your immediate relatives. And a lot of people are like that. Why is that? Because a family like the Whites will only have one Hardy. And that evolution will design it so they got a Dolly. They got a Hardy. They got a Benny. They got a Leonard. And we're all different so that they could have... Say, are they all your brothers or cousins? Yes. And now I can't remember what the name, I know I said Leonard. But those are all variations, so the variations may not be alike. My friend, you may not be like your brother. Doesn't mean you'll ever abandon your brother, or your sister, or your cousin, or your mom's new friend, who's like an aunt. She's really cool. I like her better than Dad. For a lot of that, you say, oh, I'm not exactly like the people who are my blood and guts, or what's the expression? My own blood and chocolate, as you would say, with deference to Elvis Costello, who said that. He said, blood and chocolate are thicker than water for chocolate, which is something else entirely. I thought he was saying Waterford chocolate just then, didn't you? I hear things wrong, and then I remember them wrong, and then I forget them wrong. Is that so bad? No. Is anything, people say to me, Hardy, is anything I do wrong or bad? I say, no, I don't know. Yes, no. What do you want me to say? Bless you. Oh, I'm going to try to work the conversation back to ice chips. Your basic needs are the only thing I know about. I know that we all suffer. I know that all our bodies break down. We get sick and die. So my love for my fellow person is based on their fragility, too. It's based on me knowing that you might be confused on the inside and in pain like me or something like that. I'm not in pain right now. I just mean I have experienced it sometimes, so I assume that you have, too. And I know things can be a struggle. And so there, I love you like that. And then as far as the details of your behavior, I'm not paying attention because I can't get past far on that. I'm an emergency worker. I will pull you back off the edge, but I can't give you a job. That's up to you. And I don't mean like a job for work. What is my purpose in life? Well, I don't know that's not a question that is of interest to me. I like, where is there food or where is there water or something like that? Those are good ones. Those are good questions. I ask myself that all the time. I say, well, I don't need to ask myself that. They're there at hand. But when I ask myself where my food comes from or where the things that I need come from that provide me just with the basic things in life, then I start to see the world I need to see. The world that's connected to my real needs and not my imagined ones. I don't need to be a superstar, no, no. I don't mean to fly near and far with my wings. They are made of some synthetic material and I got something on my back like a jetpack. Woo! Oh! I like to praise. I wish I had some kind of instrument to praise with. I got my ukulele, but I mean like a tambourine or something. I've never bought one. I've always been sort of say, oh, a tambourine. I don't know. They're kind of loud, aren't they? You know how I feel about cowbells. That's a cowballs or cowbells? I was thinking cowballs. There's no such thing. Listen. Oh, they're not. There aren't. Don't think about it. But I don't have. I got my maraca. I've got a primitive tambourine. And, of course, it's screwed. I nailed it to some crazy made-up moondog-like instrument. I can't leave well enough alone. I am one of those people that will, if they got a little something they don't know what it goes to, they will just screw it on to something else they don't know what it goes to. I made a machine. That's me. I can never make a computer, but I can make something that's compelling that does nothing. That's my talent. A lot of people have that. You go over it like, so what is this? It's Whirligig. That's what I say. And what is the show you're making here? Are you making a show on the radio that is like a computer? Does it have information in it that can be retrieved? Can I gain some great insight? No, my friend, I have made it. It's a Whirligig. I made it out of old scrap metal. Where'd the scrap metal come from? Your mama. No, really, your mom had all this stuff in her attic. And I don't know what it got there. It's all mainly cookie tins. And I said, what can I do with these cookie tins? And a lot of them were them Danish butter cookies. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to screw them all together and make some big trashy piece of garbage that blows around in the wind. And people go, look, oh, that's nice. But say, what does it mean to me? I don't remember. When our brains begin to decay, and they do, like, here, do an experiment. Take a cauliflower, all right? Take a full cauliflower, go to the grocery store, and then go online and search parts of the brain so that you get a picture of the brain that has all the sections mapped out, all the separate hemispheres, your Broca region. Don't forget that, because why do you have the Broca region? That's very important if you ever are selling real estate and would like to have your own real estate agency. Then, here, follow me.
What are you talking about?
The parts of the brain. Then get a marker and mark out on the cauliflower those parts of the brain so you know where they are. You follow me? Okay. Now, take that brain and put it in a big 10-gallon baggie. That's your skull. And now, put that in the crisper of the refrigerator. That's your skull. Oh, okay. Hold on now. The plastic was your derma. I know that's... I knew that was wrong. And then the crisper section of your fridge, that's your skull. And the fridge is you, right? Like, remember Refrigerator Perry who discovered the North Pole? That's why they called him that. So you, for now on, you discover the North Pole, call you Refrigerator Perry because you're cold. He's like, I don't know what you're talking about. Wrong man. Because you know what happened just there? Forgetting. I forgot about the cauliflower. And when you do that, we check back. It's been weeks. Gosh, talk about that cauliflower. Start talking about Refrigerator Perry. What? Let's go look at it.
Oh my gosh. It's turned to liquid. It's putrefied. The brain is putrefied. Why? It's broken down. And now it can't be used anymore. So certainly I can just break off a chunk and put it in blue cheese dressing, and I have an appetizer. No, doesn't work that way. But blue cheese dressing, when I say blue cheese dressing, I mean that's adult education. A lot of these metaphors I don't explain to you because I assume that you get the Miracle Nutrition comic book that comes with this every week. Every week there's a comic book that comes with each episode full of pictures and games and riddles. Oh, it's so much fun. If you're not on the subscription list and you're not getting the comic book, that is absolutely all right because it doesn't exist. That is perfectly normal. If you are getting the comic book, there's something terribly, terribly, terribly wrong. Now, it could be a time shift. Some of you are in the future when the book does exist. But a lot of you are in the past and are hearing this for the first time. Those of you 5 years down the road say, I'm going to hit them archives. You say, oh, they've always had the comic book. It hasn't happened yet. Isn't that weird? Something that's such a big part of the show went years without even being there. How did people enjoy those first few Miracle Nutrition episodes without all the pictures and the games and puzzles and everything? They wouldn't even get the clues. Like if I was giving you clues to solve certain things every week. That's why I've offered to go down to the time travel magazine stand and get you what you need. We could do ad libs with the M. I don't want to give the company any. They are a huge multinational corporation. And I don't want to give them any more publicity than they deserve. They go in other countries, and the first thing they do is they knock out all, they take out all the nouns and verbs out and adjectives out of languages. They have done this in the Middle East and Eastern Europe and everything. They have just robbed people of context. See, all I've got is this stupid predicate. I have no idea what it's about, what it's modifying, what's taking the action. So you come up with that. You can't just come up with that arbitrarily. Won't make any sense. Say, pickle. Pickles don't have pets or appointments like that. So that's why I say those Mad Libs. Oh, I just said it. I'm going to say it, Mad Libs. That's why I can't get down with that at all. Get down? Is that? Get down sounds like dancing. I can't be down with that. I can't associate myself with that. That also sounds like dancing because I love to dance to the association. Oh, my goodness. Everybody knows it's windy, don't they? Oh, my goodness. My friends, I'm going to hug you right now. Oh, I'm sorry. I got a little kiss on your cheek. That was affectionate. I hope it's nothing weird. And I tried to pucker up so much so that there's no moisture. I just wanted to put my face on yours, feel that human warmth next to me. And then, okay, I don't want to get that close to you again. It feels awkward and uncomfortable to me. That's all right. That's why this is my safety zone with you, comfort zone. I love being my 100 miles away from you in disembodied voice. Not that I don't want to be there, but I get so nervous. That's why it's best if you are in bed, recovering from an operation, slightly drugged, and I am wearing a pink dress with stripes on it. I think that's the only way I feel like we can interact. Again, it's not a dress. Not that I wouldn't wear one. I got resentment about being told what to wear. Oh, my goodness. I wish I could wear whatever I want. That's a place where I feel we don't really have true freedom, is in our attire. Whenever people want to be creative with their attire, they're really shunned. Quickly. In fact, there's rules of what to wear, so you must wear a certain style jacket to this event. Ooh, wow, weird. Isn't that odd? Say, it's like telling somebody what they got, kind of underwear or something. Odd. And people do that. I have freedom under my clothes. That's where I'm going to assert myself and wear what I want. But you got to hide it from other people who are just as insecure as you are. Who is this person judging out there? I don't know. There is no person. Isn't that weird? It's a conspiracy of the fearful. There's a conspiracy of the timid and fearful to keep you from expressing yourself. There is nobody that's going to. What are they going to do? And they only have strength in numbers. So if you do say, I'm going to go out today and just walk downtown to the Thong, they're going to get you as a group. You know, no one person, well, maybe the police, depending what the Thong looks like. Well, let's say, a really strange, crazy hat and a skirt and a bra made of coconuts. And on top of the coconut bra are little doll heads. That seems perfectly fine to me. Interesting, neato, creative. But you may be mocked. By whom? Oh, by those who perhaps wish that they had coconuts and doll heads on their breasts. I'm Hardy White, and the show's only half over. Yes, don't go anywhere. I haven't told you the antidote to it. Antidote. That's when Paul Anka comes out and says, I'm going to make everything better by telling you a story. And then I'm going to spit medicine down your throat. Syrup of Ipecac, I've talked about before. I've talked about making dogs throw up with hydrogen peroxide. Sometimes we need to purge what's in there. How do we get the horrible stuff out of ourselves? Have I poisoned my mind, Hardy, with bad thoughts? How do I clean them out? How do I do that? How do I vomit them up? Like Jonah is vomited up by the whale in the book Jonah by God. I don't know. I've been getting God's got a lot of stuff out now on Lulu. I just get his self-published stuff. Otherwise, the translations are weird. Someone just see you. And the covers he's picked are odd. It's weird, the ones that and it's all illustrated. I'd like do a children's Bible, but instead of the Bible, have different words, and instead of the drawings, have different drawings. So that's just a graphic novel. There you go. I'm giving you permission to make a graphic novel right now. And then to buy a building with seats and put that graphic novel. I don't know what it is. I have no idea. It could be the what you call the Watchman. And then put that in every single seat. And then we all stand up and we say, hey, I'm here for you to bring a lasagna if you have a death in the family. Amen. Grab a donut. Everybody go home. That's all it has to be, in my opinion. But I can't tell you how to run the world because you know and I do not. I'm a one-room guy. I'm somebody I can recognize. I love my human family and my animal family. I love you already because I know we are family. But we could just get together and find out that other than that, we're nothing alike. That could be. But I will be concerned with your well-being, and I will recognize your family, and I will be patient with you as I would with a brother or sister. So there's no strangers, but there are violent psychopaths, just like people who's cut. Every violent psychopath probably has a cousin or a relative. At the very least, they have a mother who's going, oh, I knew it. I knew it because I'm a violent psychopath. I knew this was probably going to happen, that my child would be. But, oh, yes, do they deserve compassion? Well, it's a spectrum. You know, there's people that just deserve compassion because they're bad drivers. Or they say stupid things. Oh, friends, don't just open up your heart. But open up, if you have a metaphorical duplex, what's in that other side? Are you renting it out? Are people staying there? Can you afford to have it unoccupied? Could you turn it into a recording studio or a small club? Could you let people stay there who are down on their luck? What are you doing with that duplex? What are you doing with your vacant duplex? Hi, I'm Hardy White, and I'm here to tell you the story of my family reunion. Oh, went to a family reunion, and they got my name wrong. Yes, somebody was recognizing me and saying, we're all doing very well. We'd also like to recognize one of our cousins here has been on the radio and all, Bob. And we're very proud of Bob. And they kept calling me Bob and all. And I didn't say anything because I thought they were talking. I knew there was no Bob in the room. There was one Bob in the room, and I knew he wasn't on radio because he's an architect. That doesn't mean he's not on radio, but I knew that's his main gig is architect. So I'm thinking, and the other Bob is a dermatologist, and he wasn't there because he was sick. So I was wondering about that, but it was me. and they're just getting my name wrong. This cousin got my name wrong. I wasn't hurt. Oh, my goodness. He knew I'd done something. He just didn't know who I was. That's all right. As long as we know that we're family. He knew I was a cousin. He just didn't quite know which one. And that's how I treat my fellow man, my fellow lady, woman, a fellow woman. I'm also a woman. I'm a man and a woman, all rolled into a big ball of man woman. I'm half woman. My mother's a woman. My father was a man. There's nothing I can do about that. As far as how they saw themselves, I will not say. But I will say this, that I feel as if a human being, I contain all the things that are in all of us, except for some hairy tumor shaped like a person growing on my privates. That could happen. Oh, what a strange life it is. What a strange it is to be alive and biological. Oh. Or as Joey Ross would say, ooh, strange. Yeah, he would say that. Isn't it? Yeah, it is. So I get excited like that, say, ooh, as he would say. But a lot of times, I wish I could remember. You know, though forgotten by this cousin, I know how it is. To quote Liam Finn, remember me? Honestly, I don't remember who you are. You like that? Oh, yes. I try to quote it, but if I use your quote, I try to remember you said it. You know? Like I forgot. There's a song about, I forgot. See, I can't quote you because I forgot. Forgot who you are and I forgot the song. So much that used to be there isn't there. Can you recall? You sat in your second grade classroom, probably. Turn to your left. Turn to your right. Turn to your round. Well, you're not there, so it's pointless. But who are the people sitting around you? Maybe you remember one or two names, but only because that information got transmitted to your new computer. But a lot of it was lost on, it was on floppy. All the names of my first and second grade classmates were on floppy disk. And now they're gone. I don't remember them. Now, you may have evidence that something happened without remembering it happened. You may have a stab wound on your hand from a time someone jammed a pencil in it, but you have no memory of that pencil going in there. How's that? Oh, that's live. Things may happen to you can't recall, and all you see is the consequences. Who drew this mural on the wall? I know someone was there. Clunk, clunk. Who drew the chalk drawing on the sidewalk? Someone was there once. It's from an opera. What opera, Hardy? You have an opera? I do have an opera called Forgetting. Oh, what a wonderful opera is. Gets very dramatic. It's about someone at the end of their life their mind is starting to fade and all their memories are starting to go away and they're saying goodbye to all the great memories in their life. Not just their friends, but the memories of their friends. It's one thing to say goodbye to your grandfather, your grandmother, your parent, and you lose them, and then you lose the memory of them. And which is worse? And so we commemorate losing that memory. And what's left when all the memories are stripped away? Who are you without all the events in your life? Who are you without all the old cartoon shows from your youth, all the old advertising jingles? Who are you? Who are you without the names of all your classmates? Who are you? Who are you without remembering your address? Who are you without knowing what cars you drove in your life? Who's left when all that is gone? Who are you? What was I talking about? What was I just talking about? Seriously, Will, what was I just talking about? If it was painful, I'm glad it's gone. If it was good, I'm sorry it's gone. But since I don't remember, I can't feel that bad because I don't know what I'm missing. Oh, you don't know what you missed. So it's impossible to feel bad. I missed a party. I don't know what owned the party, so I don't feel bad. The minute you do know, you feel bad. Oh, you're saying no less, Hardy? No, I'm saying... Dang the ice chips. Why can't I just leave this room, go get the ice chips, go get the Omni magazine, go get the gift basket? Hey, did you get the goodie basket at the family reunion? Yes, I did. What's in the goodie basket today, Uncle Hardy? I call it the giddy basket because it made me so happy. And I have my Spanish cousin called it the gouty basket because he said it looked like a drippy cathedral. So what's in there? A frisbee, a beer cozy. Isn't it funny? They do different things. The beer cozy keeps it cool. The tea cozy keeps it hot. The tea cozy is knitted. The beer cozy is made of plastic. It has the name of a family dentistry business on it. It's because he's figuring, hey, whatever you're drinking, it's rotting your teeth. So he says, why not put my name out there? Then there's a little round thing I thought it was a rubber keeper, but really it's to get a loose, tight jar lid off. It's a grippy. And then let's see what else in there. So coupons, there's a thing to wash your fingers. It's in an envelope, sink in an envelope. How about that? It's just, it's like the wet nap, but it's more complicated than that. Because it has, first it's like Willy Wonka. First it's just water, warm water. Then it's warm water and soap. Then it's a towel. It transforms itself. How does it do that? I can't make something useful like that, but I can take that used wet nap and I can crumple it up and I can make a beautiful painting. What's that supposed to be? It's a snowstorm. It's creative. I'm being creative. I'm taking things and I'm repurposing them. But without their usefulness. So I'm going to take that and I'm going to take all the point out of it so it's pointless. There is a universe, and I've been there. I've been there only once, and I went there. It was one of them train things, you know, those scenic trains. It's like, God, they don't use this really for passengers or cargo anymore, but it's just a scenic train trip to an alternate universe. And in this alternate universe, everything is absolutely useless and pointless. Nothing goes anywhere. You take a car to nowhere. Nothing has any use. The cars don't even run because they're pointless. They're useless. I love it, personally, because you find usefulness in things that don't do that. So say, oh, look at this useless wooden loaf of bread. Granted that that is useless and wooden, but the cigar store Indian is made of Parmesan. So it's a trade-off. Oh, my goodness. I love to travel. I think because I like to see how other people live. And in this alternate universe, they live mainly in these extended stay motels, which is fine. That's fine. And I love all, we meet downstairs for free coffee and a bagel. And we all stand, we gather around the rotary toast, the toaster, bagel toaster. You put your things in, does multiple ones because it puts them on a little track. You see what I'm saying? You put the bagels on this track like it's Lucille Ball packing bonbons. What do you call it? Assembly line thing. And they go into a machine and we all stand around waiting for our bagels to drop out like they were coins dropping out of a one-armed bandit. And somebody says, like a one-armed bagel bandit. And that, the room got silent because one of us was missing his arm and he was a baker. And he had had a bagel shop and he thought we were talking about him. And the bandit part was sensitive. Thank God he was in the motorcycle gang with that name. So he thought that's what we were talking about. It's easy to hurt people's feelings. Sometimes you hurt them. You don't even know you've done it just out of ignorance. You're joking around about something. We like to joke around about things that are difficult or painful. And that's all. Say I got a death in the family. And we're joking about it. It helps take the sting out of it. Say, oh, Meemaw would love this coffin because it's the same color as her crock pot. I don't know. And we all laugh, right? It's not that we disrespect Meemaw, don't love her, don't miss her. It's just sometimes the pain, you know how it is, helps us forget to joke around. And so we joke around about things that are difficult often, and we don't often consider that somebody else might be in a state of pain that's not, the joke doesn't appeal to them or something. So it's always difficult, isn't it? I feel for both people. I know I have the need to make light of the serious and the heavy because, otherwise my heart would be crushed reading the daily news. And other times I know there's those that do not want light made of things because they fear that leads to hostility, disrespect. So it's difficult, isn't it? What do we laugh at? It limits it. At whose expense can we make a joke, even if it's at our own expense? If it's something we represent, let's say, I would say radio, drummer. Let's say I was a drummer. I'm not, thank God. But let's say I was a drummer. I'm, in fact, a musician. And I'd say, because I'm a drummer, I can joke about drummers. Say, but no, because then other drummers might still take offense. You see? And so what can you make light of that other people wouldn't also be offended? Your own ignorance? Your weaknesses? Your fears? What's okay? That's why I try to stick to just the basics of mocking just ethnicity. And no, I'm kidding. No, just of just being honest and making that laugh. You can laugh at me if you think that I make silly mistakes. I have never, and I know this is hard to believe, I've never purposely mispronounced a word on this show. You think less of me now, don't you? Yeah, I do kind of. I know. It's shocking. Everything that comes out of my mouth that sounds stupid, I do not intend to sound stupid. I'm not trying to do a caricature of a dumb person. So if you hear anything out of my mouth that is ignorant, boy, it's authentic. And a lot of times the things that you think are intelligent, I'm stealing from others. I'm not saying that God has not given me a great brain. I am saying that Onan has given me a great brain. No, I don't know who's given me. I had a dream about Thor last night. Isn't that odd? So he was making puns about his name. That's it. It's just Thor. It wasn't a comic book Thor. It's Thor. Because he was also making Onan jokes. I laughed because he was talking about the other Onan, too. He's getting him confused. The one in the Bible. The son of Judah. Judah's son was named Onan. What did he do? Something onerous. I don't think it's the same word. Do you know this story about spilling your seed and all? Oh, I should tell it sometime. I've told it before. And it has to do with family. It has to do with keeping connected to people, but not disrespecting the widow of your brother, of keeping people in the family. The same with the book of Ruth. It's all about say, hey, you all are my brothers and sisters, and I see you as my aunts and uncles. Ah, my lot is with you. And I like to have that circle around me all the time. I say, those you're with me, right here in my immediate vicinity, I care about you and my family. And it extends out. Therefore, I care about your families. Therefore, I care about your city. Therefore, I care about your state. Therefore, I care about your country. Therefore, I care about your country. Therefore, I care about your planet. Therefore, I care about your universe. Therefore, I care about your social club. I'm taking it down a little bit there. Can't go past universe. Not sure about that. I care about you when I meet you, and I'm going to extend that care to all the things you care about. And we're going to save the world from itself, aren't we? But mainly we're going to bring it ice chips. Mainly we're going to hold its hand when it begins to forget. Oh, I've already forgotten so much that I've done. I've forgotten the bad things I've done, so I've not been able to learn from them always. I've forgotten the good things that I've done, so I am not always able to comfort my own heart when I feel bad about myself. This dang forgetting. That's what makes me human. That's what makes me not a computer. And when they teach artificial intelligence how to forget, then we will truly be threatened. But as long as they remember everything, they will never threaten us. We are the beings who forget. We are, what else are we? We are, who's that guy? There is nothing better than that feeling of something popping into your head when you thought it was gone. Isn't that an interesting, like you're groping for a name? Gary Cole. I always have to get, I love Gary Cole, the actor, but I always have to get to him through Gary Coleman and everything. It always, there's a specific route that I come by him in my head. Isn't that interesting? I know when I'm trying to retrieve somebody. Some people are so long gone, you can't remember how to get to their name. Garrison, Jennison, go through the whole alphabet. I'll tell you something. When we're trying to remember, sometimes we come up with the original. I got some members of the family. We got all sorts of names in our family, all sorts of ethnicities, all sorts of things. And a lot of times people want to keep, women want to keep their surname. It was great for whatever reason. And it's tradition to take someone else's name. But now marriage, gosh, you can take whatever surname you want. That's just fine. And there's no silly sexist tradition about it anymore. You're free, hopefully, to call yourself whatever you want. But a lot of like to hyphenate that, say we are now two families come together, the Muldoons and the Leibowitzes. I'm now Muldoon Leibowitz. So Tommy Muldoon Leibowitz hooks up with Julie Brown Foreman, not of the Whiskey Brown Foremans, and say, are we going to really be Muldoon Leibowitz Brown Foreman? And so they decided, hey, we're going to come up with our own surname. And so they had the meditation guru. And he said, listen, we're going to get you your real mystical name of your family. We're going to meditate. I want you to sit around. We're going to sit around in a circle. And one of you is going to have a memory of your future surname. And it's going to come to you, and I just don't want you to block it out. Don't think. Use that inner... that inner silent empty space that's going to come through there, and then you just speak it out loud. And Tom was sitting there meditating, and a few minutes into it, he went, av, like that. And the guru said, oh, it's okay. Avav. I think it's Avav. So now their surname is Av, Tom Avav. And, Julie Avav. Now, the problem she had is her middle name's Eve, so she's Julie Eve Avav. I don't know. I like it. I wish she was just Eve Avav. But they went with that. That's who they are. But what is in a name? My Aunt Gertrude said, a name is a thing, is a deal, is a rose, is a plant, is a name, is the claw, is a thorn. Every rose has its name. Plate, 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 button, button, button. Boot or something, I think she said. God bless her. I thought she's insane. Turns out she's a genius. A lot of times genius is perceived by people like me, by dullards, to be insanity. Isn't that interesting? And a lot of times what I think is genius is insanity. So you all think I'm crazy. I think I'm genius. No, I don't think I'm genius. I know better than anybody what I'm capable of, and I'm not, and this isn't it. Whatever I'm doing at any given time, that ain't it. I know that ain't it. God, but I try. I try, because I don't want to, I want to be a good cousin. That's all. I want to be the best cousin I can. And that means being here for you occasionally, if you need me, and it's not too taxing. I'll try to be there for you. And that's all we can ask of anybody. Unless it's the airlines or stuff or a cab, then you better be there because we have a contract. My friends, I do have so much love for you. And again, I know I've explained that I didn't say patience or respect. I just said love. That's easy to give out. I give out love and I let you. You can do what you want with it. Oh, I find, though, that some people know what to do with it. Even they keep it. Say, I'm going to keep some. I'm going to use some of it. I'm going to rub it on like it's skin lotion. And the other I'm going to give away. And I know that's probably cheap of me. Is giving love that you get to somebody else regifting? Or is it appropriate? Always appropriate. Just say you made it, though, or you bought it. Here's love I bought you. I bought you some love. That sounds creepy. Oh, my friends. I wish I could touch you. Just hands only. Just hands. Maybe not. I don't know. I don't know what part of you I want to touch. Something, not anything dirty or anything. Just maybe just your heart. And if you're having surgery, let's see if I can get permission to be in the ER, not ER, OR, and touch your heart, literally. Like, they'll get it open, and it's just my finger. I don't think it'll hurt or harm. Just touch a little of the fatty part of your heart, just a little bit, and just say, ew, it's slimy. Like, if I'm the first time I touched a reptile, say, oh, it's not slimy. They go, no. It's not. Like, a snake is not like a human heart. And how is a snake not like a human heart, writing desk, Raven? It is, though. And it's different than the sliminess that you perceive. The human heart is slimier than you think it is. And a snake is not. Remember that. That's like black on red, bad for Ted, red on black, put it up to your face. I know that's the for coral snakes and all. Oh, friends, if you don't take my camping advice. I feel like I've got more caveats than a guy who doesn't know how to pronounce cravat and he's selling neckties. So he puts caveat on the sign, being pretentious, and says, I've got thousands of caveats, but they're not. But I literally do. So that's me. And the reason is because I don't want you to, when I'm kidding around and being foolish, I don't want you to actually, you know, think, if I'm just kidding and I go, fire, like that, don't fire your gun. Because I don't know why I said it. I was just being, I'm an idiot. I have impulse control problems, I guess. So, that's going to say, man, I just self-censored. I don't do it very often, but I'm glad I did it. I'm glad I did it because I was getting my... The humor there was about to go so very low that I thought it was beneath me, beneath my dignity. Or rather, I did not want to reveal myself as being completely, utterly undignified and horrible. I would rather you see me as sort of a bearded, benign, compassionate, iconic figure that represents, you know, patience or something like that, or love. And not who I really am, which is complicated and awful and forgetting. So, there you go. I'm sorry about that. But you have enough imperfect people in your life. So just imagine that I'm not one of them. Oh, we get to be together because of a certain station that I love. WFMU, you know it's you. WFMU, you know you're the one. Every time I tune in to WFMU, I hear some great stuff on the radio. I hear people playing all sorts of music. I hear voices from all sorts of perspectives. I hear things I haven't heard since the last time I tuned in to WFMU. I am devoted to the radio. I am devoted to those who listen. We are listeners. That's what we have in common. All the people on the radio, all the people listening to the radio. We are listeners. You are listeners. And we're watchers. I'm a radio watcher. I'm a radio watcher, WFMU, FMU, WFMU, WFMU, you are listening to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White on WFMU East Orange, WFMU Mount Hope, WFMU.org, and 91.9 in Blessed Rockland County, where miracles getting ready to happen at the sound of my voice. Go now. Oh, friends, I'll see you again next week. Please have a wonderful week. May you have lots of blessings, and may your heart be light and free from pain.